Anybody in here that really understands that if it wasn't for God that was by our side, we wouldn't have made it here. Amen. Is there anybody? Can we just give God a 10-second hand praise for being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? For being a strong tower for us to run into. Amen. For us to be a safe place for us to run into. Amen. We come in here with so many different things, so much baggage, so much pain. But today and every day, we can turn to our Lord and say, I'm giving it to you. I surrender it to you. Amen. I'm excited to be here with you all today. Pastor Ian tasked me with giving a message on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And the title of that message is How to Have Worship That Walks. Amen. Because oftentimes we think of worship, or the big theme here is we think of worship as just a song, right? It's a slow song that we turn on and we get into this spiritual state. But worship is so much more than that. Amen. So before we get started, you all know I have a tradition, or we have a tradition at AWC, just to set aside 2 minutes just to give hugs. So you got 2 minutes. Find somebody you don't know. Give them some love. Tell them a good morning. Seconds. Yep. God is good. And all the time. Say it like you mean it. God is good. And all the time. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All right. There we go. It's okay. You know, it's a different kind of church, so we got to get some rhythm. Amen. 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 All right. So I'm going to have Austin is going to come up and pray for us. So can we give it up for Austin? Yeah, we got a mic for you. We got a mic for you. My bad. My bad.
Hello. All right. Good morning, everybody. Lord, I thank you for today that everybody is here, Lord, that everyone is here for a specific purpose. And I thank you today that everyone is able to make it today, that they're able to find a way to be here, that you can give them the luxury of having a car, Lord, having a home, Lord, just having a space to come to you, Lord. Each person that came here today is going through their own personal struggle, Lord, and feeling their own personal things. Some people are maybe dealing with shame right now. Some people may be feeling bitterness. Some people may be feeling anger, Lord, sadness, depression, resentment, anxiety, all these different emotions, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that through all of these emotions, Lord, that you offer these people the love, the same love that Jesus offered to everybody that he met, Lord. Lord, I pray that just as this day continues, as their week continues, as the month and years continue, Lord, that you will pray to heal them each day. Help their hearts grow, Lord. If someone came in here with a hard heart today, Lord, please, I pray that you soften that heart, Lord, that you show it love, Lord, that you could bring them to your knees in front of you, Lord, and just show them just the amazingness, the grace, the love, forgiveness, everything you offer them, Lord, and how it can change their life, Lord. I pray that through this sermon, Lord, that they could Those who have ears to hear will hear, Lord, and that through this sermon that people will feel healed and they'll have a better faith, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. It's good. It's my nephew right there. Pastor Austin coming soon to you. Amen. So, how many of us like to eat here, right? Restaurants. Okay, pretty much everybody. What are some of your favorite restaurants? Some favorite restaurants in a room. Pastor Ian, what you got? Olive Garden, okay. Austin? Oh, that is, I know. I remember you saying that. That's true. What'd you say? Oh, Raising Cane's? Oh, that's a good spot. That's a good one. Mom? Oh, Thai Spice. Thai is my favorite food. Yes, it is. Brother Troy, what you got? What's your favorite restaurant? Oh, that's a good spot. Okay, why do you guys like these restaurants? Gabby, why do you like your favorite restaurant? Because you like seafood? Okay, Mom. I mean, they better have good service. You spend all that money all the time. Amen? So that's kind of like the point. You know, you kind of hit it on the head, right? You hit the nail on the head. Is what if I told you that the server that served you, the way that they treat you and handle you, that is an act of worship to God. And to make it personal, what if I also told you the way that you treat that server is an act of worship to God? So we all have those family, you know, that family and friends. We went out to eat with them, right, in the past or recently. And they cussing out the server saying, you didn't get my meal right, right? We all heard, right? We all heard stories like that or experienced that. So the point of it is that worship is a reflection of how we treat other people and how other people treat us. Amen. We are some of the only Bibles that people will ever see. And you may ask, like, well, Coach Jermaine or Pastor Jay, whatever you want to call me, Jermaine, why? How is that true? Well, according to this definition, worship is a deep respect, adoration, or devotion to something or someone. It's to glorify a person or a deity. So personal testimony, personal story of mine is when I was when I first became a Christian, I used to have my worship playlist. I had my Marvin Sapp, my Donnie McClurkin, right? And I remember, you know, the song Never Would Have Made It. Never would have made it. I can't sing. But that's okay though, right? But that's right, I can't sing. Dang, that's cold. No, I'm just playing. But I had my worship playlist, but then I also had my Lil Wayne. You feel me? I had, you know, my Teach Me How to Dougie on there, some Drake, right? But as I grew in my faith, I started to realize that, I don't know, I kind of started to feel like a double agent. Like, I got this playlist and I got this playlist, but God is telling me that he wants all of me. So as I grew in my faith, I realized that it's nothing wrong with listening to secular music, but why is it 90% of my playlist? Why is it 70% of my playlist? Because I truly believe that access is two ways. We have access to Michael Jackson, to Drake, to Nelly, whoever it is. We have access to these people, right? To their songs. But those songs also have access to us. So I truly believe that there is like a spiritual exchange that happens. So I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, when I used to listen to Lil Wayne, his Kobe Bryant song, it would pump me up and it would put me in a position of like war, right? I would get in like this war mindset and kind of get like, not angry, but just get in a place where I'm like ready to fight, you know, ready to play. Or if I'm listening to some R&B songs, it would put me in like a lustful state. And so I had to ask myself, okay, as I listen to these songs, how is it personally affecting me? How is that worth? How am I worshiping these artists more than I'm worshiping the God who gave me life? Amen? And so that brings me to my first point, which is worship is more than a song. Serving is actually worship. And I feel like with this topic, worship, there's like six different sermons that can come out of it. So I'm going to try my best to kind of condense it down to three main things. But in the Christian faith, there's actually seven different kinds of worship, right? So one type of worship is what we just did. We had communal worship, We all came together. We all sang songs. That's communal worship. Personal worship is like how we live. And we're going to find out about the kind of worship where it's a lifestyle. We're going to find that out in Romans chapter 12. So Jesus gave us access to the Father, amen. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came on the scene, we used to have to offer sacrifices. There was always this middleman. There was a high priest, right? But now, because Jesus died, he tore that veil. And so Jesus, what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane was Jesus was captured. He asked his Father, he said, "Father, can you take this cup from me?" Basically asking like, man, do I really got to go through this crucifixion, right? And while he was up there on that cross, he could have called down legions of angels, armies of angels to come and take him down. But why didn't he do that? For you and for me. He thought about us. He thought about our sins, past, present, and future. And so we now have access to the Father because now when God looks at us, he sees us as righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So from the garden, the gospel went global. How did the gospel spread? This was a question that I had to ask myself. How did the gospel spread? And then I learned that from the 12 disciples, the gospel spread. But during the 12 disciples, like after they denied and betrayed Jesus, Jesus came back to them, right? And they end up going out and spreading it. But because they were so busy, they actually put in place 7 deacons. I didn't know that. And Stephen, who we're going to find out a little bit later, was one of those 7 deacons that eventually end up getting killed for the sake of the gospel. So another thing that I always like to do is, my college professor said, anytime you give a message, you got to make sure you tell the audience they have to read what happened before to understand what's happening now. Like you can't just jump in front of your, you can't jump into the 6th chapter of your favorite book and understand the whole context. Amen? So what happened before Romans chapter 12? So what I would tell you all to do, your homework assignment this week, is read the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts will really help you understand Saul. So Saul was named Paul originally. So Saul actually killed Stephen. He made it acceptable for Stephen to die. So Stephen was murdered by stones, right? He was stoned to death. Can you imagine that? Being stoned to death? All because you believe in Jesus? That's crazy. So Stephen was stoned to death. And Saul actually was the one who gave the charge, and he actually watched the Roman citizens. He watched their coats as they stoned Stephen to death. So Saul eventually became Paul. Paul became a missionary and eventually wrote most of the New Testament. So that's something that I didn't know about Saul. Saul's name got changed to Paul. So his original name was Saul of Tarsus. He was born in Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen. So Saul was a Roman citizen, but he was also a Pharisee. I don't know if you remember in the past, but we talked about how there was 4 major groups at that time, religious groups. There was the Pharisees, there was the Sadducees, there was the Zealots, and there was the Essenes. 4 major religious groups. And the main religious group that you could say kind of really killed Jesus was the Pharisee, but really it was all of us. The Pharisees actually arrested Jesus, and they said he was blaspheming by saying that he was the Son of God. Amen? Okay, so we are going to dive into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And Peyton is going to come up and he's going to read our scriptures for us. Can we give it up for Peyton? Got it. Right. He's going to read out of the NIV version, and I'm going to get him a mic so we can hear him.
Do I read the full thing?
Yep, 1 through 8. Yep, right here.
Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is and his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Okay.
Humble in service in the body of Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to you, every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not...
Start
to read this.
Yeah, you good. Start here, verse 6.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is a prophesying, the prophecy is in accordance with your faith. If it is a serving, and then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generosity. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Give it up for Peyton. My other nephew right there. Context is, I put him on the spot this morning. I said, Peyton. Can you read the scripture for me? Like, I don't know, you know. I'm like, look, man, it's cool. Like, you can say next time, right? But he had the courage and the boldness to come up here in front of all you beautiful people and still read it. He didn't let his fear stop him from being a servant. Amen. Can we give it up one more time for my nephew, Peyton? Okay, so for my note takers, husbands, make sure you listen to your wives. Okay? My wife told me that. Maybe. So my wife told me, she said, look, you know, babe, sometimes when you preach, it's a little bit too fast, so you need to slow it down. So that's what I'm trying to do today. Amen? So I'll give you some time. I have the points that I'm going to be covering. I have them written down here. I'm going to give you some time to write it down if you want to take a picture. But the first point is worship is more than a song. Serving is worship. The second point is to be a living sacrifice. And the third point is to use the gifts that God gave you. Amen? And once again, our main theme or title for today is how to have worship that walks, right? It's like a guide. Amen? So let's break down the scriptures. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. The key part I want us to focus on is living sacrifice and the word holy. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Now, the context behind this, Paul is actually leaning on the Old Testament when he uses the word holy, right? He's also leaning on the Old Testament when he used the word sacrifice. Because as we talked about earlier, a sacrifice is basically a barbecue. Anybody in here like barbecue? I like barbecue. It's barbecue for the Lord, amen, or it was barbecue for the Lord. So what would happen is they would, let's just talk about a lamb, for example. They would kill a lamb. It would have to be perfect. That means it had to have no deformities. It had to be perfect. They would sacrifice that lamb. They would put it on the altar, and they would barbecue it, right? Some would go to God. Some would go to them, amen? So it was sacrifice. So this word living sacrifice is actually an oxymoron. Because basically what Paul is asking us to do is to be an alive, dead thing. How are you going to be alive and dead at the same time? This is how. Driving on the freeway, some of us commute. My babe commute. Some of us commute, or even when we're just driving naturally, we have road rage sometimes, right? So to be a living sacrifice in the context of road rage would be, the worldly way would be somebody cuts you off. I remember somebody like threw a water bottle at somebody and like cracked their windshield. That was like them acting in the way of the world, right? Or cussing them out or you know, putting up a middle finger, right? You cut me off. What are you doing, right? But to be a living sacrifice in this context would be for us to say, you know what? this person is probably having a bad day. I'm going to pray for them even though they cut me off. So to be an alive, dead thing. So I'm dead to the things of this world, but I'm alive in Christ. To be an alive, dead thing. If you don't remember nothing else today, be an alive, dead thing. Amen? Amen, amen. Okay, so holy. Anybody know who Tony Evans is? Tony Evans? Tony Evans is a phenomenal pastor, right? And so I kind of, you know, borrowed this from him. But basically, to break down the word holy, he broke it down in terms of dishes. Dishes? What? Like, how does this make sense? So these dishes that we use in the sink are profane. This is an Old Testament word. The word profane basically means dirty, grimy, right? When Moses went up to the mountain to collect the Ten Commandments, he left the Israelites with Aaron, who was in charge of taking care of them. These fools end up worshiping a golden calf while Moses was going to go get the Ten Commandments. But we say these fools, but in reality, that's us. How many things do we worship in exchange for the Lord? Right? I know that it's hard to put that mirror on ourselves, but there's so many different things we worship. Our girlfriends, our boyfriends, our spouses. Some of us even worship our jobs. Some of us worship our kids. What do I mean by worship? I mean your time, you're dedicated, you're devoted to them. Amen? So worship. Worship. So we talked about profane. This is not only a reflection, but this is also a reflection of people. So people are profane. Before we meet Jesus, we are profane. Amen? We're dirty, we're grimy. Then we have common. These dishes in your house, you wake up in the morning, you make your coffee, your tea, whatever it is, you make dinner. These are dishes that we use commonly. So this commonness is basically, you could essentially say that it's like an average Christian. It's a Christian that is not set apart. They're basically doing the same thing as the world. Amen? And then we have holy. So I don't know about y'all, but my mom, in our house, she had a room and a table and dishes that was dedicated to just looking good. Amen. It was like only for special guests. But Gabby, I don't ever remember us using that. I don't ever remember us going and having dinner in that dining room. I really don't. Like, it was just literally there to look good. The forks and knives were set up all nice and neat. It was a tablecloth, nice, beautiful plate, like gold trimmings around it. It was nice. I'm like, why we can't ever use these, right? Some nice dishes. And so these dishes are holy dishes, I would say. These dishes are set apart. They're not for everyday use. Amen? So the question I have for you is, from these three examples, I think that non-Christians who don't know Jesus, before you came to Jesus, you were profane. Amen? Then, as you grew in your walk, you kind of became common, right? You became common. But then as God started to turn your heart and started to show you about yourself, we would think that eventually you would become holy. Holy means to be set apart. The word holy, kadosh in Hebrew, it means to be set apart for something special. Set apart specifically for God to use you. Amen? So what this means is that while you're at your job, are you common? Or are you holy? Are you using, or even your sports team, are you using your job or sports team or your business as an opportunity to share the gospel with people? Because at the end of the day, I said this before, we're going to have to give an account for our lives, right? Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to say, well, how did you worship me? How did you serve me? And it's not about works. It's not about works. It's about showing through your life Jesus to people, because people are suffering, amen? People are really going through it. People are going through depression. People are going through all different kinds of things, and they need hope. How are you being that hope on your job? How are you being that hope in your business? How are you being that hope to your children and to your spouse? The way that you interact with your spouse in front of your kids, your daughter, like my daughter Germany, she's going to see how I treat her mom. Amen? Even when me and Michaela were playing, she's like, Daddy, don't do that to mommy. Right? She's like coming to her defense. So people are looking at everything that you do. So I challenge you, brothers and sisters, to really live your life as holy. Amen? Okay. So the next thing I want to focus on is this word, true and proper worship. When I studied this in the Greek, the words logikon, latrion came up. Like, what does this mean? What does logikon, latrion mean? It basically just means lifestyle worship. So how do you worship God with your life? Amen? So my next point is be a living sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice. Amen? Okay, so now we got the next part, which is... Uh-oh, I think it's stuck. Got stuck. There it is. Okay, the next part of the verse I want to focus on is, do not conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to focus on the words conform and transform. The word conform in this context is, I want you to think of a potter. So when God created us, it said that he got the dust and he wrapped us with his hands, right? And then he breathed ruah, the creative breath of life in us. He molded us like clay, amen? So when you think of conform, I want you to think of how clay is made. And I didn't know this until, I'm telling you, I preached this sermon. I really didn't know. So clay, when it's formed, you have to put pressure while it's spinning. So you have to put pressure on in order to form it into what you want it to be, amen? So we have pressures in this world that's pressuring us to live a worldly life. Those pressures are something like consumerism. Why is it that you need the newest iPhone? What is pressuring you to get the newest device? Amen? Or what is pressuring a young high school student or college student to go out and have sex when they're supposed to be living a pure life? It's the pressures of this world. The conversations that's had with their teammates, the conversations that's had with your coworkers, pressuring you to gossip about your boss. It's the pressure conforming you to be like the standards of this world, amen? But I would challenge you to be holy. Hey, man, look, I'm not going to talk about our boss. You know, I don't like some of the things that she does, but, you know, as a Christian, I just can't gossip with you. Amen? Or you know, your teammates saying, hey, man, like, how many bodies you got, man? Like, what's up, man? Like, I know you got a girlfriend now. I know you got, like, what's up? Right, you like, hey man, like I'm a Christian, like I'm setting aside my body for marriage, amen. Having those conversations, being bold, right, living a holy life, amen. Okay. So transform. So you guys already know this word, but the Greek word transform is metamorpho or metamorphosis. Metamorphosis basically is broken down like this butterfly. It starts off as a caterpillar. It goes into a cocoon phase. And then eventually it turns into a beautiful butterfly. So 2 Corinthians says it this way. If any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So a question I have for you is, what's new about you? How are you living? How do we call ourselves Christians but live the same as the people in this world? If we call ourselves Christians, why are we still in the cocoon phase when God is calling us to be a butterfly? It's because we have to sacrifice. We have to give up things, right? And sometimes it's not always giving up. It's just pivoting. You know what? I'm not going to listen to this kind of music. I'm listening to Lecrae now. Me and Austin had this conversation when he was a sophomore in high school, right? We talked about J. Cole and like, J. Cole is cool, but how is he spreading the gospel? How is he bringing life to you? Amen. All right, so we got... Okay, now we're going to focus on Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, and really focusing on the different gifts that we all have. Amen. So Brother Sam in the back, he ran a homeless ministry back then, right? That was like his way of worshiping the Lord. But now what he does for our church is you see the beautiful flowers outside, him and Debbie, they both take care of the gardening around our church. Amen? And then we have the Cullen family right here. The Cullen family, every time you walk in, you see their beautiful faces. What do they have ready for you? Some coffee, some love. They got the table set up. Amen. And I even can slowly recruit Debbie to come up here and pray sometimes. Right? Amen. We got Brother Bill in the back. He's on the keys. Him and Steve is handling, you know, all of the sound and everything like that. Right? That is their way of serving and using their gifts to serve the church. Amen. But what happened in Roman culture was the Romans would say, you know what? Your gifts basically dictated your seniority. So they would say, you know what? If you're a pastor, almost like the Roman church, the Pope has more power and authority than everybody. But in this body, in the Christian church body, me being up here preaching is no different than Steve and Bill, is no different than Sam, and is no different than the Cullen family. Our priorities is the same, amen? It's to edify and glorify the body. Now, yes, the pastor is the head of the church, and we are supposed to be under direction of the pastor. He's the shepherd of the church. But that doesn't mean that his job is more important than what everybody else in this church does for the church. Amen? So that's the difference between Roman society and what Paul is saying. Is he's saying, hey, look, I grew up a Roman. I'm a Roman citizen. But during the Roman culture, it was a hierarchy. It was like, if you had money and if you had these gifts, you were seen more important than the poor people in the church. And Paul was preaching the exact opposite. Amen? He's saying, if anything, and that's why he says in here, he says, grace given to you, prophesied, teaching give you encouragement. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Sober judgment. When I thought about this word, I thought about like sobriety tests and like people who are alcoholics or people who are drug addicts. But what I learned is that we can be drunk on power. Like some people, head pastors of the church, whatever it is, leaders of a business, they can be drunk on power. And so Paul is saying to be of sober judgment. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, because all of us are at the same level when it comes to Christ. Amen? So my third point is use the gifts that God has gave you. God didn't give you a gift to just sit here in this pew. That's why when you see, when I come up here, I'm like, Austin, come on, man, I need you to pray. Debbie, I need you to pray. Michaela, I need you to pray. Next is going to be mom. You next. I'm just letting you know early. You next. Okay? Right? Peyton, getting him out of his comfort zone. Zaire, you next too. You know this. We've been talking about this for a long time. But it's slowly bringing people out of their comfort zone so that way they can use their gifts. Amen? Okay, use the gifts that God has given you. And just to recap, there's this beautiful chart that was created. And just to recap, be a living sacrifice. Choose God in everyday decisions. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Remember the pressure that we talked about, right? When you're making pottery, that pressure, realize what the pressures of this world is. God tells us to sit and be grateful for what we have. The world says, go and get more. It says to make sure that you're number one, make sure that you're taken care of, right? But God says to serve other people. Amen. Many members, only one body. There's many members in this church. We all have different gifts, but we're all Antioch Wesleyan Church. Amen? My action step for you all is this week, I really want you to ask yourself, am I worshiping God? How did I worship God today with my life? So there's the three T's. There's time, treasure, and talent. I want you to ask yourself, how am I going to dedicate my time? How am I going to dedicate my treasure, which is finances? How am I going to dedicate my talent to the church? Some of us in this room are retired, and I want to give a big shout out to Tim. Tim is working to create this talent show for youth to showcase their gifts and glorify the Lord. Amen? We give it up for Brother Tim. So Brother Tim is retired, and he's like, you know what? I'm not about to just sit. I'm going to use my musical gifts, and I'm going to teach the youth, right? I'm going to incentivize them by giving them a $100 cash prize to come and compete and utilize them to eventually create a band. Amen. I know that the worship is different in our church. I know we got video worship now, but wouldn't that be cool if Austin and Peyton and a couple young people came up here and was able to... All right, my bad. Okay, so we're going to close with that, but you may be asking yourself, you know what? I just fell off. Like, I fell off, you know, my worship. I conform to the pressures of this world, Brother Jermaine. I conform, you know. I need some prayer getting back on track. Or maybe there's somebody in this room that's like, look, like, I really want to be able to be a part of this body. I really want to be able to serve. I want to use my, I don't know what my gifts is, Jermaine. I don't know what they are, right? There's a spiritual gift test that I can show you after church. It'll show you what your spiritual gifts are. And then we'll use that, and Pastor Ian will plug you in right where you need to go. Amen? So we're going to set this time, Pastor Ian and Megan, we're going to just set this time just for prayer. Anybody want some prayer? Come on up, and we're going to pray for you. Amen? Amen, amen. I want you to just grab the hands of somebody that's around you, groups of two, groups of three, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. Right? Lord, I just thank you so much for everybody that's in this room, even those people that are online, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you show us, Lord, how to have our lives be a reflection of worship to you, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just give us this sense of surrender, surrendering all the things that we're carrying, all these burdens that we're carrying, Lord. And Lord, you said to follow you because your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Father God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you also said that when two or more are gathered together, that you will dwell in the midst, God. And here we are gathered together in front of you. Lord, I know it's intimidating to come up here, Lord, but you said that we should come humbly and boldly to the throne of grace, God. There's so many things that we carry throughout the week, and this might be the only place that we can release it, God. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just give us the strength, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is the paraclete. It's the spirit of strength, God. And so I pray, Lord, as we're going through life circumstances, Lord, that we lean on your Holy Spirit, God. There are some people in this room that's dealing with sickness and pain and all different kinds of ailments. Lord, we proclaim healing in your name, Jesus. Lord, you said, ask and ye shall find. Seek, Lord, knock and the door shall be open unto you, God. So here we are, seeking and knocking, Lord, for you to come and show up, God. Lord, you said in your word that it's by your stripes that we are healed. And we believe these things, Lord. We don't think that these things are just written for no reason. We believe that your word is true, Lord. Your word is so good that it's as sweet as honey. It never expires. It never goes bad, Lord. I just love you and we love you. And we surrender ourselves to you wholly and fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.